The Old Testament reading is from the book of Daniel, chapter 3, verses 19-28. Found on page 858 in the Church Bibles. Daniel, chapter 3, verses 19-28. Daniel's three friends are sentenced to death. Then Nebuchadnezzar lost his temper and his face turned red with anger at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So he ordered the furnace to be heated seven times hotter than usual. And he commanded the strongest men in his army to tie the three men up and throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up fully dressed, shirts, robes, caps, and all, and threw them into the blazing furnace. Now because the king had given strict orders for the furnace to be made extremely hot, the flames burnt up the guards who took the men to the furnace. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, still tied up, fell into the heart of the blazing fire. Suddenly Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement. He asked his officials, "Didn't we tie up three men and throw them into the blazing furnace?" They answered, "Yes, we did, Your Majesty." "Then why do I see four men walking about in the fire?" he asked. "They are not tied up, and they show no sign of being hurt, and the fourth one looks like an angel." So Nebuchadnezzar went up to the door of the blazing furnace and called out, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Supreme God, come out." And they came out at once. All the prisoners, governors, lieutenant governors, and other officials of the king gathered to look at the three men who had not been harmed by the fire. Their hair was not singed, their clothes were not burnt, and there was no smell of smoke on them. The king said, "Praise the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel and rescued these men who serve and trust him. They disobeyed my orders and risked their lives rather than bow down and worship any god except their own." Second reading is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 22-26. On page 57 in the New Testament section of the Church Bibles. Mark 8, verses 22-26. Jesus heals a blind man at Bethsaida. They came to Bethsaida, where some people brought a blind man to Jesus and begged him to touch him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. After spitting on the man's eyes, Jesus placed his hands on him and asked him, "Can you see anything?" The man looked up and said, "Yes, I can see people, but they look like trees walking about." So Jesus again placed his hands on the man's eyes. This time, the man looked intently. His eyesight returned, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus then sent him home with the order, "Don't go back into the village."
My Bible, in the incident from Daniel, says is he a god, the son of a god, small g? But you've got to realize that he was a pagan king, and he didn't worship the god that the Jewish people did. He didn't recognize, your Bible said angel, but mine says son of a small god. But later on he realizes and recognizes who it was that was there. He reckons it was the Son of the Living God that he'd seen. That's what our theme today I want to take up, recognition. Do we recognize people? I'm hopeless. I often walk past people and they say hello to me and I don't recognize them. They know me, but I'm hopeless with faces and names. But Nicodemus started off not sure. He thought he saw an angel. or he thought he saw the son of a small god. But at the end of the passage, he realized that he'd been seeing the son of the true and living God. You see, when you get at my age, you make mistakes. Poor old Nebuchadnezzar, I made him Nicodemus, didn't I? But still, I'm sure you gathered from the reading who I was talking about. I was talking to my brother-in-law a couple of weeks ago, and he was telling me about a group of archaeologists that had been digging on a site in the Middle East when they suddenly uncovered an earthenware container. And as they looked at it, they saw that someone had marked in the damp clay a name before it was fired. And when they translated the name, it said Jesus. And inside, when they opened it up, they found some bones and a skull. So what did they do? They took the skull, and as you've probably seen if you watch crime programs, they built a face, an image around this skull. And then built up a picture of what the man must have looked like. And they claimed that they had got the face of Jesus. And they proclaimed it to all and sundry that this was the face of Jesus from this skeleton. They had found Jesus. And it got me thinking, if they were right, and it was Jesus' skeleton they had found, we, this morning, might as well sell this church and all the churches we possess and give the money to charity. We should burn all our New Testament Bibles because they don't mean anything. Or we could join the Jewish faith and be like them, looking for the coming of the Messiah. Or we could just go off and do our own thing. As the whole of our faith is built around the fact that Jesus died on the cross and that on the third day he rose again. And on that day he rose because he had conquered death and he had made the way open for his believers, his followers, to go into heaven. Were those archaeologists right? Had they found Jesus? Or were we wrong? Or are we wrong? In John 20, verses 11 to 17, we read of Mary's, Magdalene's visit to the tomb. She sees that the tomb is empty, and as she turns round, she sees a man standing there. She doesn't recognize him at first. She calls him the gardener. Two men are on their way to the village of Emmaus when a man joins them that they talk to and they take to be a visitor to Jerusalem. Luke 24, verse 16 is where we read that. If that archaeologists are right and they have found the skeleton of Jesus, it means that Jesus was the greatest con man that ever lived. Have you ever thought of that? So many millions of people down the ages have given their lives and have followed him. And if Jesus wasn't who he said he was, he must have been the biggest con man that ever lived. But if he wasn't the biggest con man, he was the biggest fool that ever lived. Because everything that he taught, all his actions, all led to one place. An early death on a cross in his early 30s. Because what he said and what he preached and what he did led him straight to the cross. So if they'd found the body of Jesus, he must have been a fool because he could have lived for many years, couldn't he? Isn't it marvellous that what they did come to realise? Mary didn't recognise Jesus, and nor do these two men. The tomb is empty. Again, were those archaeologists right? That they had found Jesus' body. As I said, Jesus and Mary did not recognise the face of Jesus. It wasn't until Jesus called her by her name, Mary, that she recognised his voice and knew that it was her Saviour, her Jesus. The two men on the road to Emmaus did not recognise the face of Jesus, did they? As they talked to him along the road. They didn't recognize his voice either as he walked and talked to them along that road. It wasn't until they went into the inn and sat down and they saw the marks of the nails in his hands that they recognized that they were in the presence of Jesus, their Saviour. And as the disciples met in the upper room on that first Sunday evening, though they had been told that Jesus was alive, when he entered the room, they did not recognize his face. They thought that they were seeing a ghost. How was it that people that had been with Jesus for so long did not recognize his face? Was it that he looked so different after the beating that he took from the Roman soldiers at his crucifixion? Or was it that they were so caught up in their own grief that the last person they expected to see was Jesus? Or was it something even deeper? Jesus intentionally prevented recognition. It wasn't, as I said earlier, it wasn't until Mary opened her ears and heard Jesus speak her name that she recognised that it was Jesus, her Saviour. And the same with the two men on the road to Emmaus. It wasn't until they were sitting at that table and Jesus took bread and broke it and gave it to them that they realised that they were in the presence of Jesus. Their eyes were open. The reading that I took, you could say, well, what's that got to do with what we're talking about? Well, the man was blind, wasn't he? And when Jesus first touched him, his healing didn't happen in one go, did it? We read that at first the man looked up and saw that the people looked like trees walking about. When Mary and the two men on the road to Emmaus first saw Jesus, they didn't see him clearly. And it's like us when we first give our lives to Christ. We do not see him in all his glory. I love this passage in Luke. It's one of my favourite passages in the Bible, Luke 24, because it's full of open things, open scriptures, open hearts, open minds, open doors, open hands, and open eyes. The word given here, opened, has a wider meaning than just opened. It means open fully, open it up as far as you can go. You can have a visitor knock on the door, can't you? And you're not sure it is, so you open the door a crack so that you can see who it is. But here, the door is thrown wide open so that everybody can recognise it's their Saviour who's there. It wasn't, was it, until they saw, here's the two men on the Emmaus Road, that they saw the nail prints in his hand. that they recognized and their eyes were opened to the fullest extent. I wonder, have we had our ears and our eyes opened up fully? When the two men reported to the other disciples, they told them that it was in the breaking of bread that they recognized Jesus. For as today, isn't it often with us, that's when we really feel our closest and recognize Jesus' presence, is when we're at the table of our Lord. It says that in the scriptures, where two or three are gathered together in my name, as we remember him in the breaking of bread. We've had our eyes, or we can have our eyes opened, or they can stay closed. Are we ready and willing this morning to have our hearts fully open to give the Lord Jesus his rightful place in our lives? Are we ready to have our ears open fully to hear and our hearts open fully, willingly submissive to what you heard, you'll hear through his word? Strong words, aren't they? But they're important words. Are we ready? Are we ready to have our eyes open fully to see with increasing clarity just what Jesus has accomplished for us? Not like that man who saw people and thought they were like tree trunks walking around, but clearly see Jesus and what he's done for us by his death on the cross. Were those archaeologists right when they said that they had found the skeleton of Jesus? Well, my Bible tells me that after his resurrection, he was seen those 40 days. After that first Sunday, till he went to be with his Father in heaven, he was seen at least 10 times by 554 people. Admitted some of them saw him more than once. But if he was dead and in that earthenware jar, how did all these people see it? I believe that Jesus wasn't the biggest con man. He wasn't the biggest fool in the world. I believe that Jesus was who he said he was from day one, that he was the Son of God and he holds his rightful place in heaven where he's waiting to receive his church to be with him. This morning it's our choice, each one of us, to make, to decide, do we believe that Jesus was who he said he was, or that he was a fake?